helps us get there. Forgiveness is a Christian virtue, but there's, as Rob would say, but wait, there's more. There are also consequences for not forgiving. In Luke 6:37, Jesus says, "Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven." Now, to show that consequence a little bit more clearly, if you look at Matthew 6:14 through 15, it states, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Jesus later emphasized and highlighted this concept of forgiveness from the Father. I won't go over the story, but you remember the story of the king and the servant who owed him massive debt. And the king brought him in and demanded the debt be paid. The servant pleaded. He could not pay back this massive debt, but he pleaded to be forgiven. And the king, out of grace and mercy, forgave this servant, and off he went. Well, the servant went back home, and shortly thereafter found someone who owed him a debt. A small amount, but a debt nevertheless. And he grabbed this other servant by the neck, threatened him, wanted and demanded his payment back. That servant, like he himself had done, pleaded, "Lord, please forgive me my debt. I will pay it back." And this servant who had been forgiven much did not. And the second servant went to prison, dangerous prison. When the king heard about it, he was infuriated. He had this original servant that he'd forgiven much come back, and he basically chastised him and said, you will have to repay it all, and into prison he went. So Jesus used, not only said this, but used that parable to point out how important our forgiveness was and that there was a consequence if we did not forgive. Remember when Jesus was asked by his disciples to teach them to pray, like John taught his disciples? Well, Jesus gave us a model prayer, and it's recorded in Luke 11 and in Matthew 6. And we now call it the Lord's Prayer. Everybody know the Lord's Prayer? Yeah, okay, I won't go through the whole thing. However, there is one line that is very important that Jesus himself modeled that we pray to the Father. And that is, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." It's a short prayer, and that's in it. So there's a big consequence if we sin and disobey that command. There's more to it. This sin does not always just affect us, but it may affect others. And we can see that in Hebrews 12:14, where Paul writes, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." There's more to it. Many can be defiled. So the Bible's pretty clear that it's a Christian virtue to forgive, and there's consequences if we do not forgive. C.S. Lewis once said, somebody's kind of interesting to quote, "Everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive." How true is that sometimes? Sometimes forgiveness is easy. It comes easy to us. And we're able to empathize and forgive somebody for something. But there's other times that it's extremely hard. We know what to do. We know why we should do it. Yet, there's something that keeps us from doing it. Why is it so hard sometimes? I think there are some challenges that hinder us in forgiving. I want to cover some of those. I think one that seems to pop up all over the place is that things happen that seem to be small and don't really require forgiveness. Somebody says something to me, or okay, I let it go. And I don't think any more of it. I don't even think that I should forgive the person because I don't recognize it as something that should be forgiven. However, I think you will realize that small things build upon each other. Small offenses stack up when we're with people. And if we don't deal with it, sooner or later, it may turn into a full-blown judgment that you may have against that person. We'll be talking about judgments in a minute. Judgment that you may have against that person. Resentment may build. Unforgiveness grow. And separation occur. Does that sound like it's plausible? We don't know what happened with that person, but we just don't like them anymore and think nothing more of it. They're hard to get along with. Whatever it is, I've decided I'm not going to be near them. It could very well be that there's some things that you need to look at and forgive so that you can come back into right relationship as we're commanded to do. I think one of the biggest challenges to forgiveness is when something horrendous happens. Something that happens to us that is fueled by our emotions, our hurt, that's so unfair that we kind of get blinded for a while with maybe anger against that person. Emotional pain is such a driver, is it not? Haven't you heard people often say when they're talking about somebody else and they haven't talked about forgiveness, but you hear them saying, "You just don't know what that person did to me, how that person, he or she, hurt me, or how they hurt my kids." Now we're talking, right? How they hurt my kids. Or how that person ruined my career by what they said. Or how, because of that person and what they led me into, my finances are totally wrecked. You just don't understand what they have done to me. And I so don't deserve that. Those statements are all built on anger. So the anger needs to be addressed. We'll get there. And the last area of possible confusion is sometimes I don't think we understand exactly what forgiveness is and what forgiveness isn't. I'm going to start by talking about what it isn't, just to get that out of the way. Forgiveness is not approval of what that other person did. Forgiveness is not pretending that whatever it was never took place. It's not making excuses for the other people's bad behavior. It's not overlooking abuse. It's not denying that others tried to hurt you, maybe even repeatedly. It's not letting others walk all over you. It is not refusing to press charges if a crime has been committed. It's not forgetting the wrong that was done. It was not pretending that you were never hurt. These are all up there. Thank you, Sherry. It's not pretending that you must restore the relationship to back to what it was before, whatever happened. It is not necessary that you must even tell the person that they're forgiven. For after all, they may be dead or you've got no contact with them. Or they're not safe yet to go to. It's not that all the negative consequences of that sin are canceled. And it's not conditional. It's not, I will forgive them when they or if they fill in the blank. For that person may never repent or may never ask for forgiveness. And it's not just speaking the words of forgiveness. Remember when you're, I don't know about you, I remember as a little kid, my parents said, "Now say you're sorry." I'm sorry. You know, it's not just the word saying something when your heart's not really there yet. I want to go off a little bit. Because sometimes we can start saying those words and God will work in us until we do get to the point where we can forgive. And I'm going to talk about a process to help with that. That's what forgiveness is not. What is it? Well, forgiveness is a matter of the heart, your heart. And it's regardless of whatever the other person does. It's what you do and where you are with God. For forgiveness to really happen, we need to be holy. We need to be separate from this world and in God's hands. We need Him. We need the Holy Spirit to be able to forgive. And we need to value the forgiveness that we have received that we did not deserve. But we've got the freedom because we've been forgiven. When we do forgive, and with our hearts no longer defiled through the lens of unforgiveness, we can address life, we can address people with a much more peaceful mindset, can we not? The issues will still be there. Things still need to be dealt with. But as we go and talk with one another, we no longer have that sting, we no longer have that trigger that that person can pull. We're much more apt to be able to pray first and hear the Holy Spirit's guidance for our conversation. Because sometimes those conversations are uncomfortable, but very, very needed. I'd mentioned about the bitter root that can grow up and defile many. I'm going to talk about that shortly after I talk about the basic process that you might want to consider if you are at a point having difficulty to actually forgive someone, whether they're in front of you now or if they were from your past. And I don't believe in just digging up things out of the past for no reason at all, but if there's something that is holding you prisoner now, it may be worth asking, is there something or someone you need to forgive? When you do that, or if the hurt is current, some things that I would suggest and some of the ministries I've worked with suggests is, first of all, address the hurt. Don't hide it. Don't shove it down into your foot. Address it, and address it with God, just like David did in the Psalms. Be truthful. Pour your whole heart out to the Lord. When you do that, you can ask Jesus to heal that. Jesus is the healer, is he not? He can heal our emotional hurts. We can share those with him. Matter of fact, I believe Jesus invites us to do just that. In Matthew 11:29, he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you can find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden light." Receive that healing from him when he heals the heart. It may take a little while or it might be instantaneous, but he will answer that prayer. The second thing or step I'd look at going into is remembering that you too are sinners. And come before Jesus in humility and prayer. In Romans 3:10, Paul writes, "There is no one righteous, not even one." Seek forgiveness for your sinful reactions to the sin or offenses committed against you. In Ephesians 4:26, and if you can't think of any sins, look at this verse. "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." So where did you sin in this whole event? Not that you're the blaming party or you're taking it. Where did you sin? Was it being angry and doing the wrong things? That's a sin. Did you judge that person? I think judging is a sin. Did you seek getting even? Or did you get even? If that person was your parent, did you dishonor your parents? That's a command. That's a sin if you did not, if you dishonored them. Did you curse the offender? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal, what sins do you have to bring before the Lord to be forgiven? I know, had I not been saved and forgiven by grace, it'd be impossible for me to forgive others. I mean, you might want to white knuckle it, but I've been forgiven much so that I too can forgive. Be willing to give up that desire and capability to hold somebody accountable. Look at mercy over justice. Give that justice and the decision of justice to the Lord. He knows the big picture. And I don't know about you, but I believe His decision is good enough for me, so I will release that person to Him. Then lastly, after you've forgiven, if you've done this, you're able to go and forgive that person, or maybe you haven't quite yet, pray for the individual. Pray blessings. Pray if they're not saved, that God would touch them and work in their lives. Pray that the Holy Spirit would help you to be able to do what you're supposed to do with that person. If you're not supposed to be near them, do that. If you are, be able to hear the Holy Spirit and step into it. In Luke 6:27, to back up what I was saying about praying for them, it says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. We pray for them. And if you still don't feel the freedom of forgiveness, because sometimes we've forgiven, but we might not quite feel there yet, I suggest if you continue to pray for that individual, your heart is going to change towards them. You will start seeing them how God sees them. You'll no longer start seeing them from your perspective and your area of hurt. You will forgive them. You'll pray them. You'll wish the best for them. You'll want them to have the same freedom and forgiveness that you've been given, that they might be able to glorify the Lord, and they might be able, if they're not saved, have salvation. And if they are saved, that you'd be able to reconnect to whatever level the Holy Spirit directs you to reconnect. Does that make sense? So, praying. Back to the story about that man on the mountain I prayed with. Later on, we went to a movie cast and crew previewing of there was a movie made of one of these expeditions. And, well, we went to see that in Texas. And that was like a year later or 2 years later. We went, and this man's wife came up to Jane and said her husband had told her about praying and forgiving his father. And that he came back a changed man, changed for the good. He was being limited in his ability to be a loving father before and a loving husband. Something changed in him. He had been defiling his family, and the defilement ended. That root, that bitter root that grew up to defile many, Jesus had uprooted that and destroyed it and tossed it. This God does this. And He'll do it in our lives. It's always cool to hear back something like that. So, thinking about all this, what do we do with that? Is it possible that you've been defiling others and not even knowing it? Seeing things like that can be very difficult in our own lives. We might be able to see it in others, but in our own lives it might be tough. So how can you answer that question? Well, obviously, if you pray and say, Lord, have I defiled anybody and something comes to mind, great, take care of it. If not, you might want to look at evidence that's out there to look at situations, see if is unforgiveness part of it. For instance, is there somebody all of a sudden that you've broken contact with? Is there somebody when you see them, you really don't look at them anymore? And you're not noticing it so much, but are you? little more obvious is there somebody that you look at and you go, I have bad thoughts that come up right away. I remember when this. Those are all good indicators that there might be some unforgiveness that you need to address. Kind of a little bit differently than just forgiving others is there might be things in your life that are out of whack with how God says we should be living our lives. Maybe beliefs that we have. Maybe that we believe we don't have value. Maybe we believe that nobody else cares about what we do. Maybe we believe that life is just terrible and then you die. We might have a very pessimistic view at life. We may not trust others. We may have to rely solely on ourselves to take care of ourselves. We have come up with these little rules in our lives because of hurts. What do we do with those? Those can be indicators. We might even have phobias. Phobias, how does that relate? I'll tell you in a second. We might even have phobias or fears that go back to forgiveness of somebody. I want to tell you a little story about that, since that seems to be, for some people, might seem a little incongruous. Back when I was about 3 or 4 years old, we lived in Labrador, and my brothers, who were 15 at the time, were responsible to take care of me. Well, this one day, they took me tobogganing. And there was a horrendous, well, from my point of view, something horrendous happened. Let me back the story up a little bit to show you how it has to do with affecting our lives. I used to be a terrible passenger in a car. When my wife was driving, I was so anxious that the ride was terrible for me and for her. We were in the military. We had to go cross country several times, and those are long trips. And I would have to be on the verge of passing out before I would let Jane drive. And she's a good driver. That seemed like something out of alignment in my life. Maybe some of you share that. I don't know. That's a tough one. So I asked the Lord, why is this? This does not make sense. Why do I react so? And in prayer, the Holy Spirit reminded me of the story I'd started. Holy Spirit reminded me that when I was a child, that my brothers had taken me on a toboggan, and on that toboggan, they stuck me in front, probably to keep me from falling off, and from the top of the hill in Labrador, down we went, and I was screaming the whole way. Well, it turns out when we got to the bottom, my face was just covered in blood. What had happened was shards of ice came up over top of that toboggan, and I was not just scared, I was injured. As little children, you know that we start deciding how life works. How do we get what we want? Are we loved? Do we feel secure? How do we look at life and determine how do we react in life? Do we touch hot stoves? All those kind of experiences. We learn from them. We set little rules for ourselves that we won't do that again. Well, Holy Spirit revealed to me after I confessed of judging my brothers for not taking care of me or caring about my well-being, for judging my brothers that they cared more about their friends and that I was not important enough to be cared about, that is not a good belief. I forgave them. I forgave my parents for being stupid enough to give my 15-year-old brothers charge of little me. I forgave God for putting me in the family with parents. You get the point. I was forgiving everybody I could forgive on that. So, okay, if there's forgiveness, I'm covering it. As I repented for my sins, and I asked the Lord, help me in this. I forgive them. And I started to see them differently. They're all past. Hart was my last brother that passed, and that was about 4 years ago. So my parents and my brothers, of what he passed, I forgave him. Very interesting. From that moment on, keys went to my wife. I am perfectly at peace with her driving. I'm enjoying the ride. I'm enjoying the music. I'm enjoying the view. I'm enjoying being able to sleep while she's driving. She enjoys that too. So, that's kind of one of those examples of there might be more to holding unforgiveness than we know. So, take a look. Take a look in your life to see what's holding you in a place. Now, we're going to have different types of forgiveness. People are going to be asking for forgiveness for something they may have done. I have seen this happen where somebody will come up and say, you know, last week I did this, and please forgive me for that. And they get blown off. What you did doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. Forgiveness is an important thing. It doesn't talk about the severity of the offense. He talks about forgiveness. And we need to allow people to forgive each other. So please, if somebody comes to you and asks for forgiveness, even if you don't think it is worthy of forgiveness, listen to them. Honor them. And if it's in your heart, forgive them and do it sincerely, because then they have that freedom. And if they come to you, sometimes that asking for forgiveness sounds more like an accusation. I want to forgive you for this slight that really ruined my day. Now, that might sound like an accusation when it comes across. If somebody comes to you like that, quickly pray and ask the Holy Spirit to allow you to hear their hearts. You may learn of something that you've done, even it may be misunderstood. But instead of justifying what you've done, listen to them. Admit any sin that you have. Ask for their forgiveness for that, if it turns into something like that. And you can go from there. Does that make sense? But that may happen. Bringing this thing into a close, landing it, as they say. So, this all being said and shared, why do we forgive? I believe it's more than just because it's a virtue and this is something we're supposed to do. I think it's more than avoiding the consequences of not forgiving. I believe it's even more than the freedom that we feel when we have forgiven. I believe by forgiving, it is a true demonstration of our love of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of our sins, for his promise of eternal life with the Father. That is what forgiveness means to me. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for forgiving us. Holy Spirit, I invite you to work in each of our lives to help us see forgiveness as not just a virtue and not just a consequence, but something that we can do to worship you, Lord. Help us to see areas that we need to see to be able to forgive. Help us to be responsive to folks who are asking for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for what you have planned for each and every one of us and the unity that will come from doing this. Pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.